Welcome to the Playtech notice of Q1 KPI and trading update on the 2nd of May 2012. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Mor Weizer and David Mathewson. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for taking the time to join us today for this analyst conference call to review Playtech's 2012 first quarter key performance indicators and trading update. This is the Chief Executive, Mor Weizer, speaking, and I have with me our Chief Financial Officer, David Mathewson. Today, we will keep to our normal program with David first running through the financial results before I focus on some key business highlights and strategic actions. However, before handing over to David, I would like to make some introductory comments. Although it is only 6 weeks since we presented our annual results, there has been considerable corporate news flow since then, and I know this is of particular interest. I will talk later about this in some detail, but I'm also keen that we do not lose sight of the underlying financial strength of the business. This is especially true given the strong financial performance we have delivered both in this first quarter and in our current trading. This year, Playtech has been making very positive progress across a broad range of business segments and across markets. This can be seen clearly by the growth that our product portfolio has delivered, both against Q1 last year and when compared to the strong fourth quarter. The results from Casino, our services division, and the William Hill online joint venture in particular showed very significant uplift. With an increasingly diverse portfolio and broad range of revenue streams, I believe we are in very good shape. Now over to David for the financial commentary.
Thank you, Mor, and good morning, everybody. I will focus the majority of my comments on the key points of the last quarter and items raised at the year-end presentation held on the 15th of March. Before I begin, I would like you to note our annual report is now available on the Playtech website, and as announced, this year's AGM will occur in just over 2 weeks on Wednesday, 16th May. Once again, Playtech continued to deliver an excellent performance. Gross income was up 90% to €88 million, and total revenues were up 104% over the prior year to €75 million. Excluding the impact of acquisitions in 2011, revenues were up 26% on the prior year. Looking at the quarter-on-quarter growth, total revenues were up 7.9% when compared to the fourth quarter of 2011. Casino demonstrated continued strength, up 35% on the same period last year and 5% on the fourth quarter, influenced significantly by the contribution of Ash Gaming. Excluding acquisitions, casino revenues were up 28% on the same period last year. Poker showed a minor decrease on the first and fourth quarters of 2011. Bingo continues to show outstanding performance with 26% growth in the prior year and 6% Q&Q growth despite a strong final quarter for 2011. Video bet has grown considerably since last year with growth from a low base of 171% on the back of the Global Draw contract, which was deployed towards the end of Q1 11. Due to seasonality, the variable revenue share element has decreased, leading to a 10% decline in revenue from the final quarter of 2011. The services division, which comprises mainly the businesses acquired at the time of the PTTS acquisition, produced an outstanding performance, influenced by both a new agreement with an existing licensee to provide marketing consultancy and other operational services for the Asian market, as well as strong organic growth. This has led to both a revenue growth of 11% and an improved margin, which is expected to be maintained throughout the year. Consequently, there has been a consolidation of the outstanding installments relating to the initial consideration of €80.2 million into one accelerated payment of €76 million. This represents a nominal discount of 5.2%. As indicated in the KPI statement, in accordance with the original terms of the PTTS acquisition, the determination of the additional consideration of 140 million euro is set once the EBITDA performance achieves the target of 20 million euro in two consecutive quarters in aggregate. In addition, such target is required to be achieved when the first quarter is over 8 million euro and the second quarter is higher than the first. What I'm saying here is that as a result, as the performance in Q1, Q2 reflects EBITDA of over 9 million euro, there's now a further increased likelihood of early payment of such additional consideration. Other notable elements behind our performance which I'd like to touch on include the William Hill Online, which had an outstanding performance, as you will have seen, leading to a 34% increase in the share of profits on the same period last year and 51% increase on Q4 2011. Our recent acquisitions, including Ash and Mbenga, have contributed 3.6 million of revenue for quarter one 2012, and their run rates are all well above budget. I'm encouraged by the strong performance in the first month of Q2 2012, with daily average revenues approximately 20% above the comparable quarter after excluding acquisitions, and slightly above the already strong first quarter. I am in continuing positive discussions with our existing banking relationships and with international banks to extend our lines of credit. As I indicated at our full-year statement in March, the timing of any facility extension or increase is important. We have utilized 75 million euros from our credit facilities to finance the accelerated initial consideration in the PTTS acquisition, which we announced on April 17. And we're currently in a strong liquidity position with remaining 35 million unutilized facilities and significant cash balances. The dividend declared on the 15th March of 16.5 euro cents per share, if approved by shareholders, will be paid in May, and that's estimated at approximately 48 million euros. I'm happy to say that our plans to seek a premium listing on the London Stock Exchange remain on track, and we push to make the move as soon as practicable. In conclusion, the company continues to enjoy strong financial performance, with significant opportunities for growth in the coming year. And we have both the financial capability and the operating platform to make the most of the exciting opportunities that lie ahead. This concludes my financial overview, and I will now hand you back to Moore, who will take you through the operational performance.
Thank you, David. I'm not going to dwell long on the operational highlights of the quarter, but rather focus on a couple of key contributions and to then provide background to the various corporate actions we have announced recently. We remain very active with our licensees, supporting them in their expansion into regulated markets. A number of significant licensees, including Bet365, Betsson, and Unibet, launched in the Danish market early in the quarter and have made good progress since then. Ball Sports launched on our casino platform, and our work with Gala Coral is progressing well towards the first of its phased migrations to the Playtech platform. We would expect positive news flow from here in the coming months. The Gala project has been a very substantial undertaking and one which we are very much looking forward to moving to the next phase as they go live. We also remain ready and waiting for the Spanish market to open, where Playtech continues to add more licenses that will be announced in due course ahead of the coming regulations, and have also been preparing for opportunities in newly regulating markets such as Canada, the Netherlands, and Belgium. In addition, the announcement of the contract with Grupo Caliente underlines the global potential and appeal of Playtech platform and the existence of significant opportunities in new markets on new continents. Caliente are Mexico's largest land-based gaming operator and have a near 100-year history of gaming in a country which could well be the gateway for us to many countries in Spanish-speaking South America. In North America, we are increasingly active with discussions progressing well with a broad spectrum of potential licenses. When taken together, Plate continues on its path of partnering with a diverse range of significant licensees who are looking for support when entering new or soon-to-be regulated markets. Both existing and new licensees also look to Playtech for market-leading games and content to attract players, and we have delivered a considerable number of new titles onto the platform in the quarter, with more to come. I won't mention many here, but both the Spamalot and Frankie the Tory's slot games have been major successes. Our future pipeline will be enhanced by a recent expansion of the agreement with Fremantle from just the bingo product to a group-wide basis. This will enable titles such as Britain's Got Talent and The X Factor to be rolled out to a much wider audience. The first of these Britain's Got Talent superstar, as well as the Fremantle deal, recent content initiatives, have included in the rollout of our leading branded casino content as bingo mini-games such as Gladiator and other Marvel-based games were added onto different platforms. The Edge gaming platform, which we acquired through the acquisition of GTS, is cementing its position as our delivery channel for all casino content and across all distribution channels. This creates further opportunities for greater optimization, economies of scale, and time and cost efficiency to market. Now with the full suite of Ash gaming content becoming readily accessible through the Edge platform, we can offer a compelling mix of high-performing branded and non-branded content to our licensees, and we are starting to gain additional traction. The development of broader expansion of the delivery channels for content has long been a cornerstone of our strategy. It supports continued and high-margin revenue growth by leveraging the synergies offered by Playtech platform. New products and content are increasingly available across the entire platform, and we continue to look to leverage this capability in a number of ways. This is a key differentiator for Playtech and has significant potential as we look to expand into other channels such as social gaming. Mobenga and Geniety have also both been performing above our expectations, and we see both sports and mobile as significant future revenue streams. We are working with both development teams to ensure they can integrate seamlessly onto the Playtech platform and become core parts of the offering, especially in newly regulating markets. Moving on to the performance at PTTS, which we indicated in early March has been performing very strongly. Revenues from hosting payment advisory and network management services have been steady and well in line with our expectations. We have, however, been the significant beneficiary of growth in marketing-related revenues over the past few months, driven by increasing player activity and licensees' marketing initiatives. This has been combined with careful cost control and together has allowed PTTS to achieve greater margin expansion. A significant contribution to PTTS revenues has come from marketing initiatives as licensees seek to increase profiles in markets in advance of expected regulations. This reflects the appetite that experienced offshore operators have had for building up their brand presence in advance of new regulations. Even in Germany, where the shape of the regulatory landscape remains unclear, I detect a greater sense of optimism amongst various operators. In addition, PTTS has also seen increased licensee activity targeting the Asian market. Last year, I talked about Asian market consolidation, which has led to improved software contract terms with certain licensees. This year, it is PTTS which has been the beneficiary of this changing market environment, and part of its revenue growth in this first quarter has come from a new regional contract. When we acquired PTTS last year, I was confident that the business was at an inflection point, having just come through the closure of the significant French market. Since then, PTTS has seen new markets such as Italian casino opening up, together with more favorable market dynamics following the indictment of the U.S.-facing poker sites. Both of these circumstances have helped drive revenue growth, and the team remains heavily involved in the preparation for further regulation in a number of significant markets. While I do not have any more news of developments in our joint venture strategy since the middle of March, I'm confident that it will become a significant contributor in the medium term as markets open up and the company is still in discussions with various operators in numerous European jurisdictions. Even without such joint venture news flow, PTTS is clearly doing extremely well and is well on the way to being the game changer I knew it had the potential to be. In addition, I would like to echo Ralph's comments on the positive nature of the relationship with William Hill at present. Discussions will continue over the coming months against extremely strong financial performance at William Hill Online. I now want to turn to a discussion of the corporate actions we announced 2 weeks ago. Firstly, I want to reconfirm our very clear focus on moving to the main list of the London Stock Exchange as soon as is practicable. The project team has been working extremely hard to deliver on this commitment, and the set of announcements we made on 17th of April 2012 should be viewed in this context. This is also true of today's announcement relating to our chairman's options, which cleared the way to his being deemed as fully independent. These actions also demonstrate our determination to engage more fully with a broader shareholders group. By announcing the proposed related party transaction at an early stage, we have also facilitated greater engagement with our institutional shareholders on issues that are of particular concern, and we have been listening to their views. Following the announcement on 17th of April 2012 relating to the signing of a MOU to acquire certain social B2B and real money gaming assets and businesses and an equity stake in a related B2C venture from entities in which Teddy Sagi is beneficially interested, certain discussions were held with the UKLA with regards to the influence of such proposed transaction on the process of the move to the main list. The board, having considered the possible implication of the timing of acquisition and the timing of the move to the main list, has decided not to proceed with the acquisition. Instead, given the importance of social gaming to the future growth of the company, decided to enter into a software license agreement for those assets in the ordinary course of business. We remain excited about the prospects for entering into the social gaming arena, especially given certain feedback from numerous Play for Real Money operators that would like to extend into social gaming and social gaming companies that see an opportunity to partner with the leading B2B supplier, which will be able to provide them with a fully integrated best-of-breed product, both for Play for Real Money and social gaming. Accordingly, the company intends to enter into an agreement that will provide it with access to Play for Real Money and social gaming B2B assets of the group of companies that were part of the MOU, thus allowing the company to offer a full suite of social gaming products as a B2B provider. It is this combination which convinces me that we will have the very best opportunity to achieve such critical mass, and it is not readily available elsewhere. The proposed licensing agreement would not only take Playtech into the increasingly significant social gaming arena, but also help to clarify and simplify the relationship we have with our major shareholder, including his becoming an appointed advisor to the group. The license agreement for the social and real money gaming assets are being negotiated currently and will be finalized as soon as practically possible. The potential for social gaming and social media as a new gaming channel have been increasingly apparent over the past couple of years. Playtech has to date been keen to avoid moving into the market too soon and has thus avoided some of the financial write-downs experienced elsewhere. But we have been careful to monitor the opportunity. We believe the time is now right to make a move, as we see we are at a point when the proposition and potential payback is significant, but valuations remain proportionate to the financial opportunity. Social gaming is a rapidly changing marketplace, and critical mass is fundamental along with the ability to blur the lines between play for fun and play for real. In addition, the success of various social gaming companies have demonstrated that the social gaming phenomenon pushes the envelope beyond that of traditional gaming as well as requiring a different marketing methodology. It is mastering this dynamic which I believe holds the key to achieving financial returns and requires the flexibility to respond to trends in player social behavior as much as offering a choice of product. I want to finish where I started by restating my message over our financial performance for the year. While we are only through the first third of the year, and I would expect a more significant summer slowdown due to the Olympics, Playtech is in a very good place, and I remain very excited by the outlook for the year. Thank you for listening this morning, and we would now be very happy to take any questions you may have.
Thank you, sir. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they're received. There will be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. Thank you. Our first question comes from Richard Carter. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, good morning. Richard Carter at Deutsche Bank. Three questions, please. Firstly, could you just give a bit more detail in terms of how the margin at PTTS has jumped so much from where it was in Q3 and Q4 of last year? I understand that you've obviously renegotiated some contracts there, but some more detail around that would be very helpful. The second question is, you're obviously alluding to the fact in here that you expect to hit this earn out of two consecutive quarters of 20 million. So should we be thinking that Q2 EBITDA is likely to sort of be 11, so you'll hit it in the first half of the year, or would you expect it to be more second half weighted? And obviously it's quite important from a cash flow timing, so any guidance or help there would be appreciated. And then thirdly, I think you said that on the casino that 28% was sort of like for like growth. So was that 2 million, I think it is, or 1.9 million of revenue, was that from Ash Gaming, or it seems quite a high number, so where's that sort of casino revenue coming from? And if possible, is there an overall sort of growth number excluding M&A for the whole business?
Okay. Let's start with the margins at PTTS first, Richard. I mean, there has been a steady improvement in margin, cost control, as well as renegotiation of some contracts. In addition, we had a very strong Asian contract, which we've got on board. And I believe the guidance we were giving some time back was 25% or thereabouts. We've certainly moved up the margins to in excess of 30% now, and we do believe these will continue. So it's really a combination of tight cost control, improving margins on some of our existing contracts, and one or two very good new contracts. The earn-out point you raised is an important one. We certainly are giving a message here that PTTS is trading strongly. We've got the first quarter of 9 million EBITDA. It is possible, I don't want to move into forecast territory here, but it appears with the momentum we've got that we could hit this very quickly. Certainly we anticipate that during the course of this year as things are shaping. In which case, we would then accelerate the payments, and these fall on an 18-month period once we've established that the 20 million has actually been hit on the EBITDA standard that we've got. So
would that be, if you were to edit in Q2, you have to pay, is it 35 million July?
Yes, it starts, it's four payments approximately
42, 40.
Of 35 million, correct.
Yeah.
The first one is a little bit higher, there are one or two issues in there, but not much more.
Okay.
But it would be over an 18-month period, and the first one would fall as soon as we've determined that the trigger's been hit.
Okay.
To answer your question on the casino, in the casino numbers we've got there in the KPI statement, there is a figure for Ash Gaming. It's 1.78 million in there.
Okay.
So you were, I can't just remember what you said, Richard, but it's
yes.
pretty much spot on, I think, with your comment.
Okay. I think, Richard, it is important to say, just to add to what David just said, I think that there are two points to, or two comments here. The first of which is with regards to your second question, and it's the EBITDA. It's, we said above 9, so it, you can assume something along the lines of between 9 and 10, and obviously, in order to meet the criteria determined, in the second quarter, it will have to be between 10 and 11. In terms of the casino, there is a big contribution. The like-for-like is obviously takes into consideration a combination of casino, bingo, and poker. And just to explain and clarify what I just said, when the way we attribute the casino, the way we attribute certain activity to casino revenues, bingo side games and poker side games are attributed to casino rather than the bingo and poker. Hence, you can assume that strong performance in bingo and strong performance in poker contribute to the performance of casino. So if you think about the performance of bingo, and if you think about our licensees establishing themselves ahead of regulations in soon-to-be-regulated markets and markets that are now regulated, when you combine all of that, you get to the 28%.
Okay. And just a final question. Is it possible to say what the revenue for Mbengo was in Q1? Or did you?
We haven't said what it was, but it's approximately $1.5 million, Richard, just to give you a flavor.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Peter Burkhardt. Please state your company name followed by your question. Thank you, Peter Burkhardt. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Yeah, hi. My question has been answered. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. The next question comes from Gavin Keller. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, it's Gavin Kelleher from Goodbody here. Just a quick follow-up question on casino. Can you give us a bit of colour on how much of the 28% year-on-year growth was driven by new Italian casino products in the quarter? And maybe on PTTS, one follow-up question there. Has there been any major change in German revenues as a percentage of PTTS revenues? I think at the time of acquisition they were around 15%. Has that changed significantly? And in terms of bingo, can you just give some colour on what's driving the growth there?
Yes. In terms of the Italian casino, I would say that we have seen something along the lines, we have seen an increase of something along the lines between, I would say, 5 to 8% of that. So definitely there was a contribution from the Italian activity. In terms of Germany, in fact, PTTS, given the uncertainty in the market, reduced certain marketing investment into the German market, and therefore it reduced from 15 to low teens, just above 10. So obviously the whole exposure for the group reduced quite significantly in the last few months. Obviously, I say significantly given the fact that while PTTS reduced PTTS reduced its marketing investment, other companies and other operators, other licensees have done the same, and therefore the exposure is now less than what it used to be.
Okay, and in terms of bingo?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Can you just give some idea on what is driving the growth in bingo? Is it new licensees coming on stream year to year, or is it growth from existing licensees, or both?
I would say that it's mostly the vast majority of that is existing licensees. We had few licensees joining last year, one of which is Unibet. And definitely now that they are very much familiar with the product, they feel comfortable to invest heavily and push forward. I would say that in the first quarter it was all organic, and it is on the back of certain offline activities, TV advertisements. As you know, bingo is very much focused on the UK. and our licensees are pushing forward given the quality of product and liquidity that we have. And obviously, Koa Bingo is very exciting for us, not least because we expect Gala Bingo to join us later on this year. When you combine all of that, then obviously the prospects are very positive for Bingo. But I would say, just to keep it simple, I would say all organic growth on the back of a lot of investments made by major licensees that hold a very a leading position in the market.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Simon Davis. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Yeah, morning. Simon Davis from Canaccord. A couple of questions, if I may. Just returning to PTTS, can you give us some kind of feel for the revenue growth rate through the month of April, if you have that? Secondly, any updates on timing for the recruitment of non-execs, and are there any other potential impediments to your completing the move up to the main market by the end of June? And finally, following the COPA partnership in the US, you suggested there are other negotiations, other possible deals. Can you just give us an update on progress there?
Okay, Simon, I'll answer the first two, and perhaps Moore can do the COPA comment. We're around about 11% growth is the answer to the PDS question. The non-exec, we're very close to making an appointment. We've got an individual identified who will be a very strong addition to the board, and when we've done the final interviewing process and so on, we'll make the announcement. But that is well in hand, and then we'll be fully compliant in addition to the tidying up of our chairman's option position.
So in answer, you feel you're absolutely on track to deliver the move by the end of June?
That is the target. We're in active conversation with the UKLA. We're busy with our eligibility letter, and it's looking very positive, Simon.
I think, Simon, that it's very, very important that we reiterate, and a lot of the announcements made recently and this morning are around the move to the main list. I think that it shows the commitment of Playtech, and I would like to reiterate the fact that Playtech remains committed and keen to complete the move to the main list as soon as practically possible and push ahead together with our advisors, led by David from our end, together with certain board other directors from the board, together with all of our advisors, in order to make the move as soon as practically possible. Moving to the third question with COPA, definitely COPA is a big opportunity. We believe that it's even a more important opportunity given the fact that we will gain shortly an access to social gaming, which will allow them to position themselves not only as a play for real money operator or a play for fun operator that intends to become a play for real money operator on the back of regulations, but also a social gaming operator. So we are in active discussions with COPA on that. I think that social gaming is an important element in North America, given the importance or given the success of social gaming, mainly in the U.S. In terms of other discussions, we all share a common perception that it will be done on a state-by-state basis, and we are very active in various jurisdictions with many companies, various gaming operators, but not just gaming operators, that we are in active discussions with. Obviously, I can't name or refer to specific potential partners, but it's a variety of companies that present a good opportunity. Some of those are obviously land-based operators. Some of those are operators, gaming operators that have access to distribution and marketing channels, and also media companies. So it's a variety of companies that we are in discussions with, and obviously we push forward with our plan for the U.S. market.
Great, thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ivor Jones. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Good morning. I'm at Numis. I feel I've missed something because it sounds like you're talking about paying out the additional consideration of PTTS potentially relatively soon, and I thought it was only payable following the end of 2015 or following the end of 2014. When should I have known that it was possible it was payable earlier?
In the original announcement, Ivor, the routine calculation of the earn-out was based on 2014 earnings.
Yeah.
However, there is an acceleration clause that we've been discussing here, and it was outlined in the KPI statement today. And that's, as we've just articulated, if the aggregate of two quarters exceeds the run rate of 20 million EBITDA, then the accelerated payment falls due.
So is this the first time that it's been made public then, David?
No, it was in the original announcement.
Because in the report and accounts, it unambiguously says that the consideration will be paid non-interest-bearing installments over the 18 months following its determination in 2015 on page 22 of the accounts out very recently.
Yes, so that's if it's routinely achieved. You know, whatever the EBITDA in excess of the 20 million base, remember it was on 7x multiple,
yeah.
Whatever the excess there would have been paid out on the back of the 2014 earnings, but there is this acceleration clause should the earnings performance be strong that we've been discussing today.
And sorry to harp on about it, but it must have been apparent there was a possibility that would be triggered. Why wasn't that highlighted in the report and accounts?
It's been an acceleration of performance from PDDS. The new Asian contract was signed in the first quarter of this year. So it's very much a post-balance sheet activity that's really begun to accelerate the PTTS performance.
But it's potentially pulling forward an enormous payment by 3 years.
Absolutely correct. I mean, this is a very positive performance from PTTS. It's well in excess of management expectation. Moore also indicated in his statement, and we've made various references today, and you're picking up well on them, Ivor, but Moore also said that he felt that, you know, on the back of the pullout from France, it was an inflection point. And that's a very significant comment from Moore. You know, we have got real momentum now in PTTS. It's a very substantial contributor. And this is before we've even linked into any of the JV possibilities and the turnkey projects.
When you talk about the success of PTTS, you've highlighted, I'm not quite sure, is it new contract terms in relation to people facing Asia or an entirely new contract with a new customer for PTTS?
It's both. It's renegotiation of existing contract and it is a new one.
And so you're talking about consolidation of the market and improved contract terms, whereas normally I would have thought that if there were a smaller number of customers, a supplier would expect to receive a lower payment, not a higher payment. But you're saying that the market's consolidated and you're getting a bigger share of revenue.
The answer is yes.
Correct.
And are the directors confident there's no economic link between the vendors of PTTS and the operators of the business in Asia?
Absolutely. There is no, there are no links.
Okay.
It's an independent third party that they partner with. That is a new contract which provides PTTS with access into certain Asian markets and gives them the ability to do certain things and obviously do that together with an existing licensee in Asia in order to leverage the position and in order to grow the business and provide additional services there.
And so are the improved contract terms a result of the markets being higher risk? Is this a business targeting China specifically?
No, it's basically the ability to work together instead of the consolidation is basically combining the efforts between various licensees in order to leverage the position in the market rather than and reduce the competition between various licensees. Obviously, this allows them to pay more to Playtech.
Okay. Just sticking with the consideration of PTTS, you talk again in this release about having accelerated the payment of the initial tranche of consideration, but you're also talking about negotiating additional bank facilities, and of course there was the fundraise last year. David, could you just talk about corporate finance strategy, I guess capital strategy particularly? It seems to have gone through a number of iterations in relatively quick order.
Well, they're all very consistent here, Ivor. We are in discussions with two major banks. I've mentioned that a couple of times in our earlier interaction with you. But I really want to get the timing of this right from a Playtech point of view. To move into any syndicated revolving credit type facility is expensive, and we don't want to be sitting with substantial non-utilization fees. So we've got our existing facilities, which we're now using for that first $75 million that I mentioned. That was to pay down the initial PTDS consideration. And I think it is very likely that as we move forward here, and there will be more opportunities emerging for us for growth, it is possible that we move into revolving credit facility. But some of the international banks are prepared to add on additional facilities very much on the same terms as our existing suite of facilities with our present lenders. So,
but if you hadn't accelerated the payment for PTDS, you wouldn't need to extend the facilities.
That's not necessarily the case. But excuse me, we're generating significant cash out of the PTDS deal. We've got $110 million of facilities sitting there. As I say, we've used $75 million, but we're starting to pay those down already. So it's very much a positive cash flow we've got here, Ivor. I'm very comfortable. We're sitting on substantial deposits as we speak.
Okay.
Ivor, just to add to the, just to clarify the point, I think that we are very consistent with the message. I think that we said it a few times already that we would like to extend the existing facilities that we have. This was way before we dealt with the initial consideration for PTTS, never mind the acceleration in the business of PTTS in the first quarter of this year. It's about finding the right balance between the cash generated by the company, our existing, I would call it medium-term facilities on very good terms, and obviously longer-term facilities, which obviously have a higher cost. So it's for us, it's finding the balance and the balance between all of those. And David, and rightfully so, refer to the non-utilization cost of that. I think that extending, as we indicated many months ago and reiterated that a few months ago or in the last few months, that we may extend that, and by combining the cash generated by the company and the extended facility, we may find the balance. Even though we are very attractive and people find the story very attractive and are willing to lend us the money, or create or put in place these facilities. I think David is very active in these discussions, leading these discussions, and we will update the market once we extend or put in place a new facility.
And given that terrific cash and facilities position, certainly prior to the acceleration of the payment, do you think you would, with the benefit of hindsight, still have issued equity above just a bit above £2 so recently? Or was that not necessary?
I think that it was necessary. I think people kind of, you know, it's all a retroactive, or people look at it in retrospect, but the reality of it, the acceleration in the business only happened once we bought certain businesses such as Ash Gaming and Genity, and as we indicated this morning, they perform above our expectations. It is before the commitment being made to big partners like Gauselmann in Germany and Piermont in South Africa. If you combine only the four of those, I think that people can obviously see that we committed to half of the money we placed towards the end of last year. Uh-huh. The acceleration of the initial consideration of PTTS was done using a facility to give the comfort to the market. The money was placed in order to grow the business, and I think that the performance of this quarter reiterates that we have done the right thing and we repositioned the company, not only maintaining our leading position, but putting the infrastructure for future growth as well.
I would just just add to that, Ivor, that it is so important for a business like Playtech that is growing rapidly with many opportunities for organic growth, for new client acquisitions, and for JV potential as well as the acquisitions we're making. It's so important when we've got this very active profile that we are in a strong position. And I have no doubt that a fundraise of equity at that moment was the right thing to do. It's positioning and strengthening our balance sheet, and it's beginning to pay off now. I think you can see that the way the market's responding now.
Thank you. So I appreciate it taking a lot of time. Just one last thing. In relation to the memorandum of understanding, you talked about a social games business, a B2B business, and a B2C business originally. Are all three of those things envisaged to be part of the normal course of business arrangement that you've talked about?
No, as we indicated this morning, just to clarify that it's a good question, instead of basically gaining the rights for the companies and the IP and the for Play for Will Money as well as social gaming as well as the B2C, which were all linked together, the ordinary course of business and the licensing agreement we discussed this morning means that we will gain access only to the product and thus allowing Playtech to license the social gaming product and the Real Money products that these companies hold the rights for, but it does not include the B2C part.
And will there be, if it's a licensing arrangement, can you confirm that there'll be no cash up front then? That it'll simply be paid out of revenue after it's received by Playtech?
Obviously, I can't comment on the current negotiations because we are negotiating, and obviously we will update the market in due course. But I can tell you that what happened ever since we announced the MOUs, certain discussions with various Playtech operators, Playtech licensees that operate Play for Real Money, as well as I would say leading social gaming companies, they all approached Playtech and were very excited about the combination of both on the back of the fact that people do understand, given certain references to that by leading companies such as Zynga and others, that Play for Real Money may converge with, social gaming may converge with Play for Real Money. And I think that the industry is heading in this direction, and I think that social gaming is transformational for online gaming, not least because operators will have to extend beyond just Play for Real Money. And this is why we truly believe that we will come with an arrangement and update the market, obviously, accordingly, but the arrangement we will have will be extremely beneficial for the company going forward. The ability to offer what they have on the Play for Real Money, thus avoiding conflict in the core business of Playtech, as well as the fact that Playtech will be able to license social gaming using that in soon-to-be-regulated market, one of which is very important is the North American market, will position us in a leading position when it comes to B2B of both social gaming and Play for Real Money. I will just reiterate one point that I haven't said before. We will be the only company that will be able to provide all the products for social gaming, whether it is casino, poker, bingo, Remy. If you think about companies like Zynga, they operate poker, they don't have casino, Double Down is a casino operator, Bingo Blitz is a bingo operator, obviously they have other games, but we will be in a position to provide a full suite of products that will be fully integrated with the backend, that will be fully integrated with the, in the obviously medium-longer term, will be fully integrated with the Play for Real Money, providing a huge opportunity for various operators, whether these are Real Money operators or social gaming operators.
Thank you, that's very clear. And could you just clarify, and then if it's the case, explain, are you still going to go ahead with spending quite a material amount of money on a piece of London real estate? And explain how that fits in the corporate finance strategy.
We are taking, obviously, it's still something that we will have to take a view on. We listen carefully to our shareholders. We have certain discussions around that. Obviously, we'll update the market in due course, taking into consideration all the feedback that we had from various people, such as analysts and shareholders.
So it's okay. So it's not decided.
It's not decided. It's not decided yet. But it will have to be concluded quite quickly.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ivo.
Thank you. The next question comes from Emmanuel de Figueredo. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Yes, hello. This is Emmanuel from LBV Asset Management. I have four questions, if I may. The first one is on Asia. If you can just provide a bit of color on your business opportunities there, particularly with respect to PTTS, and who are your competitors in Asia? My second question is a more mundane question, which is, have you made any progress with respect to the replacement of your IR, which I believe left? My third question would be, in the conversation you mentioned that you expect a bit of a slowdown in the summer because of the Olympics. Maybe if you could put a bit of color on that. And my final question would be on the William Hill Online, which is, when should we expect some strategic decision on what's going to happen there with William Hill? Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Shall I take the easy one first here, Emmanuel? The IR, that is falling very much in my lap at the moment, as you're maybe aware. I'm doing all of the contact with our investor base and analysts, aided by Moore from time to time, but we are actively seeking a replacement for Ross. I mean, Ross had a good interaction with our investor community. We have interviewed a couple of candidates, and we hope in due course to make an announcement, but that is underway.
Definitely the idea is to recruit someone that will replace Ross. He indeed left us. I wish him the best, and I hope that it will be a great opportunity for him, and we are actively looking for a replacement. In terms of the Asian business, the opportunities are a combination of certain services that will be provided to existing licensees, and existing licensees, I would say two licensees, as well as a few opportunities in various markets in Asia. It's all across Asia. It's mainly around marketing initiatives and certain operational services around online gaming. In terms of competitors, most of our competitors are local companies that either developed software licenses in Asia, specifically customized for the Asian market and the Asian audience, as well as proprietary software that is operated by various operators that certain operators and agents will be happy to replace. This is with regards to Asia. In terms of the slowdown during the Olympics, what we have seen is that events such as the Olympics and the World Cup, for example, means that throughout the course of the event, it's obviously a very, very important period for sports betting companies, and they manage to, especially when it is a Euro Cup or World Cup, when it is linked to football, less with with the Olympics, they manage to attract a lot of traction and a lot of new accounts. However, the focus during the course of this period is on betting rather than gaming. I'm happy to say that usually during such events, we do see a reduction in terms of activity in gaming products. However, given the number of accounts they generate throughout such period, the revenues come following that. So the summer is obviously a traditionally weaker period. And when you add to that the Olympics, then obviously there will be the impact of the Olympics. But we do expect that the fourth quarter and the first quarter following that will be better, and I would even say strong quarter, given the number of accounts that will be attracted throughout the course of the Olympics. Although, as I said, the Olympics is not as attractive as a football event in most European countries. In terms of William Hill Online, as I stated earlier, definitely very constructive approach and very mature approach by both companies. We are very happy with the way the negotiations are being held. We met the team, or the team of the two companies that know each other quite well, met already a few times in the last few weeks. They intend to meet next week as well. There is additional meetings scheduled in the very, very near future, in the coming days, between the two chairmen, CEOs, and key members of the team. And we expect to update the market when we conclude these discussions. In terms of timing, I will echo our statement, and we all aim at some time before the summer, when we all believe we will be in a position to update the market.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from James Hollins. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Oh yeah, I'm at Investec. It's three for me. First on Gala Coral. Can you just let us know when that will actually start generating revenue for you? Secondly, whether you think it will be one of your top five clients. And third, if it's using PTTS or just the Playtex software. The second one is on really following from Mr. Jones's questions. In Asia, is that revenue, which is clearly driving the EBITDA at the moment from Asia, is that all regulated markets, and therefore can we take comfort that this is long-term revenue generation and EBITDA generation from that business? And also on that, can I confirm that if it does, let's say, 11 million this quarter, that it gets all 140 million euros, or whether it has to continually do two-month performance above expectation? And then finally, where are you on completing your submission to Nevada with regards to William Hill? Thank you.
Yes, so I'll answer most of the questions. In terms of Gala Coral, it's a phased migration which will start the first part of it. There are three phases. The first part of it will be launched sometime in the coming few weeks. Obviously, following that, we will start generating revenues from Gala Coral. In terms of the opportunity, we believe that as they build up the operations, as they continue with the migration, it will build up and we will become, in the second half of the year, more significant for us, and obviously very significant from next year and onwards, which obviously allows us to grow the revenue stream from Gala steadily between 2012, and we can indicate today that we expect that some of the growth is already secured for 2013 on the back of the fact that there is a phased migration approach. Whether it will be a top five licensees in the medium longer term, definitely should be one of our most important licensees. I can't really say whether it will be fifth, sixth, or fourth, but definitely one of our most significant licensees. Definitely from next year and onwards, we expect it to be one of our top 10 licensees, and obviously we expect them to be very significant, and in the medium longer term become one of our top five licensees. Sorry, as for PTTS, it's a pure software deal. It's a very extensive and comprehensive software deal that includes new elements such as the IMS being the infrastructure for all of the organization, including sports, Portal, which is a tool to personalize and manage the content on the site, which is very innovative. It's a very innovative approach we took here. So as I indicated earlier, it's a very significant undertaking, and one that we believe will become very significant from a financial perspective. But again, it's a pure software deal. In terms of Asia, in terms of the EBITDA, it is a combination of certain markets that are going through a change from a regulatory point of view. We all know that the Philippines is now regulated, but also other markets that consider regulating, and obviously in some markets it's similar to .com, to the .com activity in Europe. Obviously in some markets there are some markets that we are not involved altogether. given the fact that it's clear that it's bent. In terms of Nevada, there were 16 licenses apply, or there were 16 applications for Nevada licenses for by made by various online gaming companies. Two of our licenses, we worked together with two of our licenses. As you know, you mentioned one of those, William Hill, and we remain supportive of the initiative. Obviously, in the case of William Hill Online, given the fact that we hold not only a role of a key supplier, we are also a significant shareholder in William Hill Online, then obviously we go through this process together with them, and we will continue to support them throughout this process and support other licensees that intend to that either applied or intend to apply in Nevada for a license.
And to your specific point, James, on PDDS, the answer is yes. Once the accelerator is triggered through this two quarters consecutively producing that aggregate figure of $20 million, then the payments fall due, and that's on a structured basis that we touched on earlier over an 18-month period.
Okay, that's very clear. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Nick Batram. Please state your company name followed by a question.
Hi, morning chaps. It's Nick from Peel Hunt here. Just two questions really. Just on poker, my old favourite. I think we're now at 10 consecutive quarters of year-on-year decline. You know, will this ever turn around? And I mean, are you getting any pressure from your licensees due to that performance? And secondly, just on video bet, I just wonder if there are any large potential new contracts out there that you're bidding for.
Yes. In terms of poker, indeed the market remains a very competitive market. Even though there were a few companies were indicted, some continue to work in certain European markets under either the .com model or under a local license. It remains very competitive. I think that when you add to our poker revenues, which are reported as under the specific poker line item, when you add to that the casino contribution of the side game, which is quite significant, it's more than 30% of the overall activity, I think that it still remains a very, very important product for us. I don't think it's about, I think that there is a change in the marketplace. I think that there is appetite to invest more into poker. Obviously, certain things such as, and we indicated in our annual results, presentation that I referred to the policy and following that there was some coverage around that. The industry is going through a change in order to facilitate the requirements of certain operators, not necessarily just playtech operators that would like to see certain policies in poker given how competitive the market is, to ensure that their investment will have substantial financial return. I can just summarize that and say it does remain a very competitive market. We have seen the declines are stabilizing. It's not the declines we have seen few quarters ago, and it still remains an important product for Playtech, not least because we believe that on the back of certain regulatory changes, not least in the U.S. obviously. Poker is a very important element of the business for both Playtech, the operators, and certain companies that would like to penetrate into regulated markets. Poker is one of first two products that usually is being regulated in each and every jurisdiction. In terms of video bet, Playtech obviously finished the deployment in the beginning of last year. I would say stabilized everything by the end of the second quarter when we completely finished the rollout, and ever since then maintain it. So obviously, and we hold a leading position through the relationship that we have with Global Draw in the UK. Definitely, we started looking elsewhere. Definitely, there are some big opportunities. We will update the market in due course. There are certain markets that are in line, that are that presents a very good opportunity for us in Central Europe and Northern Europe. And we will, the way we approach it is the same way we approach the UK market. We will focus on few key markets, but only few initially, and establish ourselves as a leading suppliers in these markets. So definitely there are certain initiatives outside of the UK, and you should expect that in the coming quarters, Playtech will update the market with new initiatives of VideoBest in other European countries.
Thanks, Mo.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. Thank you. There appear to be no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
Thank you very much for taking the time being with us today, and we wish you a very good day. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys. It was a very constructive conversation today. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude today's presentation. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.